Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Folks, it is Monday, and it is time for the Early Line right here on Sirius XM Channel 159. I'm Donnie Wrightside. We are going to talk NFL football, so if you like the NFL, stay tuned over the next 2 hours. Today, I am joined by my esteemed colleague, Joe Ranieri. Joe, it's Monday. Welcome into the show.
Monday, fun day after a chalky Sunday. I don't know if that rhymes. I might be a poet and not know it here, Donnie, but good morning, man. Welcome in.
All right, let's do it here on a Monday. A lot of topics to get to. And as always, Joe, we are going to start with the 7-7. And right away, it looked like, you know, we're making a run to the playoffs here for the Baltimore Ravens. Disaster strikes early yesterday for the Ravens as Lamar Jackson is carted off the field, Joe.
It was, you kind of knew things weren't going to go well there. But then, you know, you remembered, well, it's the Browns. And the Browns will do something to eventually allow Harbaugh and the Ravens to try to get back in that game. And if I was holding a 2.5 ticket there on the Browns and watched that debacle at the end of the game, I might have thrown up a little in my mouth because that was horrendous. But where did they go from here? Tyler Huntley, is that the answer? I don't know. It could be the beginning of the end for Harbaugh and the Ravens here.
Yeah, next segment, Joe, we're going to dip into this game and get into some of the finer points there of, yes, a 16-0 shutout in the second half by the Ravens, but also taking a look at another AFC contender here. The Chiefs absolutely dismantled the Raiders. About twice in 1 month they've done that, Joe. And in that game yesterday, we're joking before we came on the air today. How about that field goal at the end of the first half? That pump up the Raiders for you, Joe.
Yeah, no, if I'm the Raiders, I'm going, well, listen, I'm not getting shut out because I can't promise you the offense is going to score a damn point here. So I might as well take the three while I can. At least we can say we weren't shut out. But how about that KC defense, huh? What a turnaround with Spags and company there. Good to see it. They could be unbeatable very shortly.
Yeah, Cowboys also here, Joe, run out to a lead in the NFC East. Also ran out to a lead of 24-0 at the break here against the Washington football team. Now, Joe, was it the benches that Dallas flew in? Was that the key to victory here between them?
Yeah, well, you know, I think a little bit injury reports all over the place there for that Washington team there. No Montez Sweat, defense decimated. But still, you get paid to deliver on Sundays, don't you? So, unfortunately, that Washington football team did not. And kudos to the defense of the Cowboys, making it a very long day for Taylor Heinicke.
No, it certainly was here. And if you take a look at an overtime game yesterday, starring George Kittle for the San Francisco 49ers, impressive finish there and a furious comeback by the Bengals just falls short as the Niners get it done, Joe, in OT.
I'm sorry, I almost just dropped the microphone like they dropped how many punts yesterday, the Cincinnati Bengals leading to 10. I'm telling you, special teams, just unbelievable yesterday. Burrow brought him back. I mean, he did the best he could. So did Chase. But unfortunately, Kittle proved to be way too much. They had no answer for him, and it proved to cost them in the end.
Yeah, taking a look at that game overall, George Kittle, 13 receptions, 151 yards, and one touchdown there. Massive catch after massive catch in the second half. And also, I do want to commend Joe Burrow, because we do know in the NFL, it's about throwing the football. And we know he had that damaged pinky there. And both of these quarterbacks were under siege in the first half and also well into the third quarter. Multiple sacks by each defense. Didn't seem like anybody could block anybody up. And then there they go in overtime. A couple clutch plays by your big ones, by your big players here. Let's also welcome in the radio audience here, Sirius XM Channel 159. You are listening to and watching The Early Line. Donnie Wrightside along with Joe Ranieri as we tackle our 7-7 highlights here. How about this one? The Bucks hang on against the Bills. Look like a blowout early, but the Bucks let go here, and the Bills with a furious comeback falls just short, Joe?
A lot of questionable decisions by Sean McDermott for the second week in a row here. The play calling, very strange in the first half. You don't give one handoff to the running backs. You actually wait till the second half to do that. You fake a punt that everybody knew was coming. You only needed 2 yards. You lost three. Keep the offense out on the field. I mean, the list goes on. I give them credit for that comeback, but the reality is twofold, too. Like, Tampa, what are you doing? Like, you had very unlike Tom Brady to have his foot on your throat and not finish the job in the second half. They allowed him to get back in. Lucky to get away with a win there.
No, they were. I can't wait to break this game down a little bit later also and get into some stuff because he had a 17-3 fourth quarter with that Bills furious comeback and a couple questionable calls down the stretch in that one that went in the Buccaneers' direction. But let's flip it over a little bit to some NBA talk. The Bulls can't get out of their own way. Actually having a nice season here, Joe. 9 players now on the COVID protocols list.
It's let's get used to it. That's not just the NBA, but across all sports landscapes. This is something, Donnie, that is going to continue to rear its head with teams. We've seen it here now a little bit in the NFL, and the NBA and the Chicago Bulls are also experiencing the COVID life right now. It's not easy, and you got to keep that in mind moving forward from a betting perspective.
No, you're absolutely right with that. And also, Steph's big night tonight as the Golden State Warriors take on the Indiana Pacers was shut down over the weekend here against the Philadelphia 76ers. Do you think, real quick, Joe, that he can get it done tonight, drop 7 triples?
Yes.
Simple answer.
Get it done,
Simple
Doc.
Answer, absolutely.
Get him done.
I mean, we had on the FanDuel Sportsbook, Joe, over the weekend, a boost that said, hey, can Steph make 10 triples against the Philadelphia 76ers? Paid handsomely. It was like a 6-1 price, so certainly was interesting here. But we got a long way to go here on the show. On a Monday, right here on the early line, NFL talk takes place and starts underway just shortly here. The Ravens, season in doubt. Stay tuned. We'll let you know.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back into the early line. Monday morning, armchair quarterback time. Both myself, Donnie Wrightside, and Joe Ranieri. We got you covered here over the next couple hours, setting the stage here for Monday Night Football. But before we do that, we love to break down the NFL action that was on Sunday, particularly in AFC North battle between the Cleveland Browns and the Baltimore Ravens. Now, we don't know how these end up right when they start. So I'm saying to myself, okay, Cleveland Browns, that -2.5, -3. Okay, I might want to give it another run after what I saw just a few weeks previous, because one of the anomalies in the scheduling, Joe, in the NFL is the Cleveland Browns last played the Ravens, then played them again, but did have a bye week in between. Now, we saw earlier in this game, Lamar Jackson, who we talked about getting injured here. We'll see how serious that ankle injury. He finishes the game 4-for-4 for only 17 yards. Hundley comes in. But I got to tell you, if you are up 24-6 at the break with a backup quarterback at home, Joe, how does it end up 24-22?
The Browns happen, Donnie. We've seen this time and time again. And listen, for bettors yesterday, you had a day, and we haven't seen one of these in a long time, Donnie, where we have favorites going 11-1 on the week. There were only two dogs that covered yesterday. Atlanta won outright. And then this game here for the Ravens, somehow or another, thanks to the Browns, allowed them to get back into this late and gave them an opportunity. Even got an onside kick. Had the opportunity to actually upend the Browns. What was it, 0 points in the second half for the Cleveland Browns?
Yep.
That's not going to get it done. I don't think either of these two teams are even worthy of discussion for playoff hopes or make a run here. I don't trust either of these teams. As it is, I think the Ravens were limping into that game, and I think they're going to continue to limp depending on the status of Lamar Jackson. But even that is not going to be enough, I think, to elevate this team for the rest of the season.
Yeah, Joe, the injuries just keep on piling up for the Ravens, and we even started to see that in the preseason where they basically lost their entire backfield. And you're saying, okay, Lamar Jackson, you're going to have to lead us to victory. Everything is going to be on your shoulders, and he hasn't performed. Obviously got injured yesterday, but even before that, Joe, for about a month, month and a half, really struggling in the passing game, which usually is his Achilles heel, but they're able to overcome that due to the athleticism and also a very strong defense. Now, when you take a look at the game yesterday as they came in, you say to yourself, okay, moving forward now, the Browns sitting at 7-6 and the Ravens sitting at 8-5. Just a few weeks ago, he said, hey, man, it looks like the Ravens are going to run away with this division here. Not so fast as now the top gets a little bit stacked. But in that game, particularly yesterday, because also coming up in the near future, Joe, the Cleveland Browns are going to have to make a decision here on what they want to do with Baker Mayfield, because the going rate isn't for a starting quarterback. Hey, let's see what you do again in 1 year. About a 1 year, $8 million deal. No. You're going to break the bank. Like Baker Mayfield, if you are a starting quarterback and you think he's the franchise guy, he's going to get in that $150 to $200 million range spread out over 7 or 8 years. You have to see what you have in the kid as it moves forward. Was he impressive yesterday? Not really, Joe. 190, two touchdowns, one interception yesterday. You didn't even get that big ground attack that you would have expected. And also, Joe, you take a look yesterday. Kareem Hunt battling injury, comes back, gets injured again last week. So maybe it's going to be the Nick Chubb show down the stretch. Now, the one thing I did want to bring up also, as we move forward in the AFC, if you take a look at these two teams right now, if the season ended today, the Cleveland Browns, Joe, sitting here 7-6, the eighth seed, so out of the playoffs. The Baltimore Ravens at 8-5, and they don't have an easy stretch coming up either, Joe.
No, they don't. And also very unlike Harbaugh and company there, an extremely undisciplined game yesterday too, where the flags kept flying, and what, 10 flags, 125 yards, literally gave Cleveland the opportunity to hold on to that lead late. So I don't trust either of these teams. I think the AFC North is in one of those transformation year or two coming up here. I do think Cincinnati is the team that if anybody is going to come and make a run down the stretch, I do think they have the best shot at doing it. With that, what is that shoulder with Baker Mayfield? Do you trust that shoulder with Baker? I couldn't possibly offer him a long-term contract for that kind of money without a healthy shoulder. And I think that's going to be a big topic of discussion moving forward. But give me the Bengals in that division. I think they have the best shot at making the most noise.
Yeah, because when you look at the Bengals, and I agree with you, Joe, because it comes down to, you know, it's an offensive league. If we take a look at, and let's just say all four of these teams are healthy, I trust the Cincinnati Bengals here. You got an all-pro running back in Mixon. You have a very good young quarterback in Joe Burrow, three legitimate wide receivers, and seem to be coming into their own here. Now, they did stumble yesterday, which we'll talk about a little bit later. But overall, Cleveland Browns, beginning of the season, Joe, I had high expectations for this team. I actually thought they would be able to win the division and do some damage in the playoffs. But you are so correct here. The one thing that you have a problem with Baker Mayfield is he's a shorter, smaller stature quarterback. He's got to stay in the pocket, but he likes to be that athlete, which we saw in college at Oklahoma. But that leads to a labrum injury, a shoulder injury, a heel injury, holding up over the season. Because also, these injuries technically aren't going to get better. He's probably going to need surgery at the end of the year here.
No, absolutely going to need it. I mean, I give him credit to try and, you know, power through this, but the reality is this is going to come to a point where he may begin to hurt his team more than help him, but they don't have a real legit answer behind him anyway. So they're going to have to grin and bear it. And now you only have a one-headed monster there with Chubb as opposed to Kareem Hunt, because now it's a high ankle sprain. It's not even what was bothering him the first time around that that he was on the IR stint. So and it could be a couple of weeks there. We know what high ankle sprains are. So they don't even have their full complement of running backs here. I think the Browns, while it's a nice story now, unless that defense continues to hold teams, what was it, 1 of 12 on third down yesterday against the Ravens, that defense is going to have to show up and show out until this offense can figure it out.
Yeah, that AFC North is going to be very interesting to watch it come down the stretch. You know, Pittsburgh Steelers, Ravens, and then you have the two teams out of Ohio between Cincinnati and Cleveland to see what takes place here. But another big game and a big performance by the Kansas City Chiefs, and I don't know what to expect now for the rest of the season, because I was waiting for the Chiefs again to put a full game together, which a couple weeks ago they did against the Raiders. Well, this defense, I don't know, Joe, if I'm staring at the 1975 Pittsburgh Steelers, but this new wave defense for Kansas City in their 48-9 win, a blasting of the Las Vegas Raiders. Have the Chiefs woken up at the right time, ready for a Super Bowl run, Joe?
Oh, this is the scariest team. This team should be scaring everybody in the AFC. And it all starts on the defensive side of the ball. What this defense has done over this six-game winning streak is nothing short of ridiculous. We're talking about they started off the season, what, 3-4, Donnie, giving up more than 400 yards a game. They were only 7 turnovers. They were a mess in this winning streak now. And Spags, hats off, they have figured it out. 311 yards a game, 16 turnovers now in this winning streak here. It's almost impossible. They're giving up 10 points a game during this winning streak. This defense has made a huge turnaround. And now if the defense is going to play lights out, it looks like, Mahomes and the offense starting to figure it out as well. So to me, the Chiefs should be scaring everybody in the AFC. Here they come.
No, certainly. And take a look at Patrick Mahomes' efficient day yesterday, because in the past, Joe's like, hey, what did Mahomes do? I don't know, threw 53 times for 420 yards and 3 touchdowns yesterday. 20 of 24, 258, 2 touchdowns, no interceptions, a passer rating of 139.2. And the worst part about this, if you're looking from a Raiders perspective, even an AFC perspective, you're going up against the Kansas City Chiefs. Yesterday, you had 37 yards out of Clyde Edwards-Helaire. You had 27 yards out of Travis Kelce, Joe, and you had 48 Kansas City points.
Yeah. The turnovers, too. The ability to get all of the three in the first half that led to all those points. I mean, that's why they were up 35-3 in the first half. But as you're now starting to see with the defense figuring it out, and, oh, yeah, by the way, getting pressure now on quarterbacks without having to blitz, it's giving Mahomes and company a better opportunity to get in rhythm, and that's what you're seeing right now.
Yeah, Andy Reid, Steve Spagnuolo here rallying the troops. They now sit at 9-4 and maybe not out of the equation here, getting a top overall seed in the AFC to stay home for the holidays at Arrowhead. We'll see how it turns out here. But also, we got a lot more NFL action to talk about, including those Dallas Cowboys. And can they stay on top of the NFC East? Make sure you guys stick around with us right here on The Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back into The Early Line. Donnie Wrightside, Joe and Erie, carrying you through until 9 a.m. today, talking a lot of NFL. Thank you for joining us here on Sirius XM channel 159 on the grid. Let's get back to some NFL action. And maybe on the grid is what the Jets technically are here, Joe. 30-9 yesterday, the Saints walk into the Meadowlands and pull out an easy victory. But for a while, it wasn't so easy. Hanging around that 5.5, 6.5 line yesterday in the Meadowlands were the New York Jets. But again, a big fourth quarter surge here by the Saints. And I got to tell you, if you're looking at a game plan here of just playing good defense and running the football and saying the Jets just don't have much ammunition to get after it, that was yesterday's Saints victory, 30-9 over the New York Jets. Taysom Hill in this one, Joe. 15 of 21, 175, no touchdowns, but key, no interceptions. Actually had a passer rating of 96. But everything from what we expected out of Taysom Hill, getting it done on the ground yesterday. I believe the FanDuel Sportsbook yesterday, Joe, closed his number around 54.5, and he hit that with 11 carries, 73 yards. But the big story of this game, hey, when you get back one of the best running backs and players on offense in the NFL, he does make a difference. That is Alvin Kamara's 27 carries, 120 yards, and 1 touchdown. Looks like that knee's pretty healthy now, Joe.
Yeah, what a difference Alvin Kamara makes. Unreal. 145 total yards there in that game, taking all the pressure off of Taysom Hill in that one, who became all of a sudden much more of a facilitator. It wasn't all on his shoulders. And that defense remains stout. Not enough is made of that defense of the New Orleans Saints here, who is scary in its own right, but the futility of the Jets. I mean, 3 trips inside the red zone, not 1 touchdown. This kid, Zach Wilson, is, I don't know how many favors they're doing with him. It looks like at some points, like he just has no clue as to what he's doing. His confidence has got to be shot here. So I did not understand the steam that came in late. I watched the Jets go from 5.5 yesterday up until kickoff, where there was a four out there. Like, there was actually people buying the Jets yesterday for some reason here. I don't know what they were expecting, but they didn't get it. I can tell you that. Not absolutely didn't get it. Kudos. Alvin Kamara and Taysom Hill, that combination, going to be very difficult for teams to defend moving forward here. The Saints are not dead yet by any stretch of imagination.
No, certainly not. And it's a great organization. Obviously, you have a very good head coach in Sean Payton that can make things work. It would have been very interesting, Joe, to see them coming down the stretch with Jameis Winston playing at a high level to see if they could have done some damage, because they do have a tough game coming up with the Buccaneers. But, you know, with Jameis Winston, they actually beat the Buccaneers. But obviously, now you're going to have Taysom Hill in that regard here. But I want to focus a little bit more on the Jets here, right? You hire Robert Saleh, who, you know, great defensive coordinator out there with San Francisco. But most times, Joe, you look to hire the coach that is going to steward Zach Wilson or your young franchise quarterback. Doesn't seem like they have that just now. Now, you're going to have a lot of growing pains because, you know, the number two overall pick, Zach Wilson, is struggling, but so is the number one overall pick with Trevor Lawrence. So not a great year for these top-level quarterbacks to try to say, hey, let me learn on the job. It hasn't worked out very well. But also with the Jets, you saw coming in yesterday, and you're right, you get the buy downs to minus four. And then you say to yourself, now hold on. Probably the two best wide receivers the Jets have are not even going to play in this game against a very good Saints defense. Look like a recipe for disaster right off the bat here, Joe.
Yeah, no, it was. And I kept scratching my head going, man, what am I missing here is the weapons are few and far between for the Jets. Kamara's a go. What are we missing here? And I guess a lot of that had more to do with the disbelief, I think, of Taysom Hill. And that even, you know, how healthy was Kamara coming back here? Well, we did get our answer, but the Jets, listen, the Jets was always going to be a three-year rebuild project, right? The amount of draft picks they have this year, I think the real litmus test for Saleh and the rest of this coaching staff is going to be next year. You know, you got to give the guy 2 to 3 years to be able to get the kind of players because the Jets were in shambles. I mean, they were an absolute dysfunctional Adam Gase run organization for the last, you know, 3 or 4 years. Now they're trying to get rid of all of that. So I do think we have to hold off, give them a pass here, get through the next draft where let's see what Douglas and company can do there in the front office, put some players around, install that level of confidence in there. And we'll judge them a year from now, Donnie. We'll come back in 1 year from now and see if we're having this conversation.
Exactly, Joe. Health is the key here. You do have money. You do have draft picks. You have capital to go out and help Zach Wilson. You'll see if it helps Robert Saleh and Joe Douglas there in that front office. Let's flip it back over to the NFC, the Dallas Cowboys and the Washington football team. You know, some little gamesmanship going on during the week. Mike McCarthy saying, yeah, you know, we're going to go out Sunday. This is going to be a W for us here. Ron Rivera didn't like it so much. Also, the Cowboys getting word from the Seattle Seahawks said, hey, guys, if it's a chillier day here, make sure you bring your own benches because we couldn't get our benches to heat up that the Washington football team provided to us. Well, the Dallas Cowboys certainly hot from the start here, 24-0 at the half. But so many times in the NFL, Joe, a 7-point victory here for the Cowboys hanging on at the end of the game. My goodness, when we talk about shortening your life here from a gambling perspective in the NFL, every Sunday it seems like it happens. But the Dallas Cowboys pulled away with the victory, 9-4 now on the season. Washington drops to 6-7.
I can't imagine, Donnie, those that were holding a Cowboys ticket at 6.5. When that pick six happened there at the end of the game. And then, I mean, that from that moment to where they botched the extra point, right, where Johnson shanks the extra point, what a difference. A hero, right, a week ago, now all of a sudden people are looking at him like, you got to be kidding me. And that moment in between must have been harrowing for people yesterday. But they did end up getting the cover. But kudos to the defense, right? But what did they beat? I mean, quite honestly, like, what did they beat? Ezekiel Elliott is not healthy. You have basically no running game. Pollock wasn't there yesterday. You had Dak playing about as uneven as we've seen. And you're going against a decimated defense in this Washington team. And you almost lost. I mean, let's be reasonable. As dominating as you were, if you take those turnovers away, what did that offense do that you can look at, Donnie, and go, wow, this Cowboy team's really... Yeah, this is a team we need to fear moving forward. I don't fear them because I think they're going to become very, very, very one-dimensional. It's going to be hit or miss. Does Dak play like an all-world player, or do we get what we got yesterday? Because I don't think Zeke Elliott's a factor moving forward.
No, you know what's interesting? I think you put it in the right perspective here, Joe, because you're right. When you're watching the first half, like, hey, Dallas looks like they can win the Super Bowl. I said, now hold on here. It's still the NFC East here. You are by far the most talented team over the Giants, the Eagles, and the Washington football team. And let's also remind ourselves, Washington came into this football game, Joe, down their top four defensive ends as COVID has struck that defense with injury and also, obviously, the protocols here. Taylor Heinicke wasn't very good, but I do have to give some credit here. When the Dallas Cowboys defense is right, they can get after the passer. They got some athletic, you know, linebackers here and a decent secondary. But again, you're still talking about the NFC East here, which they are the front runners. So if we're taking a look at the Dallas Cowboys here and where they sit at the standings, Joe, just a really quick brush over, because 9-4 here on the season, to me, coming in, is probably going to be either the Washington football team, if they stayed healthy, or the Dallas Cowboys to win this division. Obviously, it looks like the Cowboys have taken control. Now, they sit at 9-4, as we said, number four overall seed here in the NFC. Obviously, probably not set up for a bye week here, but just some quick thoughts here on the future of the Cowboys. Chances are they do some damage in the playoffs, or is this one of those teams that makes it in and hopes to win a game? Because it's been roughly 30 years, Joe, since they hoisted the Lombardi.
Well, I don't want the number four seed if I'm the Cowboy. Like, I don't want any part of having to play Green Bay in any way, shape, or form. If I'm the, it'll be the quickest playoffs for the Cowboys. So, listen, they put themselves in a good spot. But keeping in mind, you know, being the class of the NFC East is not what it used to be. You know, when you're playing, when Dak Prescott is the best quarterback in your division, ouch with that division there. I mean, two against the Giants, two against this Washington team here, and of course, two against the Eagles, who are about as one-dimensional as they come. Yep. Dallas should be the best in that division, but I don't know what that means from a playoff perspective. I think it means an early exit, to be completely honest with you.
Yeah, it probably does. I mean, we'll see how it matches up in the playoffs and see how high they finish here. But a long way to go. And you're right, Zeke Elliott's knee probably isn't going to get better. Tony Pollard now having issues with his foot. And you're going to be leaning on Dak Prescott much, much more. We'll see how it turns out. Atlanta Falcons 29-21 over the Carolina Panthers. And an underdog actually won and won outright yesterday on the road. And I got to tell you, a lot of people were lining up like myself to try to take the Atlanta Falcons here, because it just came down to, who do you trust more, a quarterback? And I don't even like Matt Ryan all that much, but it was against Cam Newton. They take the early lead. Oh, look, Carolina might win this game at home. Then the pick six rears its ugly head, a fumble at midfield, and off and running the Atlanta Falcons with an 8-point victory on the road in an NFC South battle.
Well, I'm so glad they got rid of Joe Brady, because he was obviously the problem in Carolina. I do not understand, Donnie. I thought the Falcons were the worst defense in the NFL, but you would not have known it watching this game yesterday. Now, granted, the Panthers are down a couple of offensive linemen there yesterday, and Cam is Cam. We know how that fumble was just continues to turn the ball over. Then they went to what? P.J. Walker. That turned into be an absolute disaster as well. I give the Falcons credit, man. The defense seems to be getting a little bit better. The offense clicking. For some strange reason, I think the Falcons are better or away from home. I don't know why, but that appears to be what we get. But I think this Carolina team going in the wrong direction.
Yeah, a lot of credit here for me for Arthur Smith, the head coach of the Atlanta Falcons. Yep. I don't want to say turning the team around, but sitting at 6-7 now. Also keep in mind, Calvin Ridley with his extended absence here, he would be really helping out this offense overall. But a nice turnaround there, as they are now technically here, like most teams, in playoff contention here in the NFC. But a nice win, 29-21 over the Carolina Panthers here. And Cordarrelle Patterson, 58 yards on the ground, one touchdown here. Swiss Army knife here. Stay tuned here, because there's another team in the NFC. Maybe a playoff surge out of Seattle? We'll find out.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
On a Monday morning, playing armchair quarterback, I am Donnie Wrightside, along with Joe Ranieri, as we filter through the NFL and what was yesterday in action. And we are going to get to the Seattle Seahawks and the Houston Texans. 33-13 final. The Seahawks put away the Houston Texans, as most probably anticipated. but it's a little bit closer than most would have thought here right through to halftime and the third quarter. Seahawks do put up 33 points on the board, which made it a happy Monday for Donnie Wrightside, as I did have the team total over 24 yesterday. Got 16 first half points. And as always, we can equate it, Joe, to gamblers. And we always think of the doomsday scenario. Nice little touchdown pass for Russell Wilson before the half to Tyler Lockett. Awesome. 17 points on the board. One more touchdown in the second half. At least I get a push. And you have a mixed extra point. Not in 40-mile-an-hour winds, Joe. Not outside in rainy conditions. In a nice, cozy dome. A 37-yard extra point went wide left. But thank goodness it did not matter, as you had two touchdowns in the fourth quarter to put the game away for the Seahawks. So, starting this conversation off, Joe, my question to you, the 5-8 Seahawks, playoff bound? Or it's like, hey, one last run here with the Heat.
I feel like I'm being punked with this question here, Donnie. It was a hell of a win against a JUCO college team there known as the Texans. So I was impressed there. Nice to see Rashad Penny still in the NFL. Had no idea. But listen, the reality is this was about as ugly a game as it was going to be. The Seahawks are hot garbage. The defense lost its best player there, Jamal Adams. They were already in the bottom third of just about every defensive category, especially against the pass. The win last week against the 49ers says a lot more about the 49ers than it does the trajectory of the Seattle Seahawks here. This is not a playoff team. Might they try to play spoiler down the road? Could be, but this team is done. It is in, everything is going to change. It's the end of the Pete Carroll era. Russell Wilson will not be there much longer. So this is a franchise going in the wrong direction. It's going to get blown up. And it's going to start from scratch. I want no part of the Seattle Seahawks moving forward this season or beyond, quite honestly. It is over for Seattle. Don't let a win against the Texans fool you into believing there's a turnaround coming. There is no turnaround coming in Seattle.
Yeah, last 2 weeks for me, Joe, I actually picked up some money there and took a, you know, basically a public fade last week where everybody, you know, lining up on the 49ers. I thought you could have one of those last stands here by the Seattle Seahawks, which they won that game outright. And I thought Pete Carroll could have the locker room for at least one more game here as they played the Houston Texans, because you're supposed to have the locker room when everybody, you know, you circle the game and say, hey, you know, these are my stat game. I'm going to get some stats in this game. We're going to have an easy victory. We're going to go on the road. It's in a dome. It's not like you have to go to Green Bay and play in cold weather in the Northeast here. It was an easy walkaway victory. I thought the one good thing for the Houston Texans here is when I came into this game and I thought Seattle would be able to get those 24 points because the Houston Texans would open up their offense. And they did. Davis Mills threw 49 times yesterday. I believe, Joe, he also started 14 of 14 in that game. So when you're taking a look at an evaluation perspective here from David Culley, the head coach of the Texans, was it's not to put together a game plan to keep the game close. It's to get as much film as you can on Davis Mills to see if he can be a quarterback or at least be on your roster for the following season. But I do have to say, nice little, you know, game here for Rashard Penny. 16 carries, 137, and two touchdowns. But I am under the same vision as you. Just because we had a nice little two-game win streak here and, you know, Russell Wilson's yelling Go Hawks in the microphone after his press conference, doom and gloom is on the horizon here because big changes are going to be made, as you already pointed out. You know, every week we see leaked information out of the Seahawks about some list that Russell Wilson has already approved to be traded out of town. Pete Carroll's not getting any younger. He's not a 49-year-old head coach in the NFL. Yeah. He's sort of going to ride off into the sunset. And once you get that change of Russell Wilson, it sounds like it's going to be a rebuild mode up in Seattle. So I'll ask you this question here, Joe, between, because, you know, we can opine on how the Houston Texans are bad. But if I had to give you both of the guys, Russell Wilson and Pete Carroll, better chances both stay or better chances both go heading into next year?
Oh, I think they're both gone. I don't see any reason why to keep one together. Listen, it run its course here. I mean, it was a great run. It was wonderful. But you're right. Pete Carroll's like, you know, in his 70s, you know, he ain't getting any younger here. And sometimes the message just gets stale. And it's not working out there. It's not working out for Russell Wilson. He's been trying to get out of Seattle for the last couple of years now, right? You know, and if somebody needs to pull a Bill Belichick, I'd rather do it a year early than a year late, right? And people in Pittsburgh are figuring that out right now. Big Ben should have been gone and retired 2 years ago. They shouldn't still have to be dealing with him right now. And I think the same thing is coming true for Russell. Not saying that Russell is finished, but I do think a fresh start for him and the Seattle organization is best for all parties involved.
Let Russ cook here, Joe. We'll see if he's cooking in Seattle or elsewhere next year, because some of the teams looking for some quarterback help, a la the Denver Broncos that we're going to talk about right now. Maybe Teddy staved off elimination for himself as a quarterback here in 2022. Did he need to do much, Joe? Not really. 18 of 25, buck 79 through the air, 2 touchdown passes. But I do have to get a little bit of a chuckle in this game, because it was a high line by the Denver Broncos, you know, closing close to 2 touchdowns when it was all said and done. But I got sort of a chuckle when I tried to break this game down and go, could the Detroit Lions here be in a look-ahead situation or one of those situations where you're coming into the game going, hey, this is a letdown spot for a team that has one win, but they got their one win the previous week. Denver Broncos handled their business 38-10, staying in the playoff race out west. Detroit drops to 1-11 overall. This game had the makings of disaster all week long as you take a look at a team that's not that talented with Detroit, but also coupled by COVID and a flu outbreak, Joe. How do we expect them to compete? Well, Denver said, we don't expect it to compete. 28-point victory by the Broncos.
To be fair, they competed early in that first half. The problem was the offense of the Detroit Lions didn't come out of the tunnel for the second half. They were nowhere to be found. It was abysmal there. It's punts, it's turnover on downs. It was not good the second half. But give them credit, right? I mean, they fought the whole way through there. And you just felt like they were battling too much, Detroit. And Teddy Bridgewater, what you got from him was exactly what you're always going to get from Teddy Bridgewater. That was a Teddy Bridgewater kind of game. Just a game manager, does his thing, hands the ball off. Gordon has a good day. You know, the dedication and the ceremony to Demaryius Thomas, what a terrible, absolute terrible tragedy there. But you just felt it was way too much for the Lions to be able to overcome there. Maybe the least shocking result of the day, given what we knew the Lions were dealing with coming in, and then having to go to Mile High there in that spot was just not good for the Detroit Lions. But kudos for the Broncos and that defense. And quietly now the Broncos are in the playoff picture here. So Vic Fangio doing a pretty good job with limited resources there in Denver.
I got to tell you, that offense, too, if you can get a gunslinger at quarterback here, because then they tried Drew Lock, and he's a gunslinger, but just doesn't have enough bullets here after the end of the first quarter. And then you take a look at Teddy Bridgewater, more of that steady guy who's going to win you football games. He's not going to lose you those. But then you take a look at the running back position, Melvin Gordon, Javonte Williams, very good. You take a look at those 3 wide receivers that they have. Most of those outside of Jerry Jeudy still on that rookie contract, locked up for the future. Seems to me like a legitimate starting quarterback, almost like when they went out and got Peyton Manning a few years ago to win a Super Bowl, is what is needed here. But let's take a look at the future of the Denver Broncos here, Joe, coming up, because they are in playoff position. The schedule really is not that great for them. They're going to get the Bengals, but you get them at home. You get the Raiders. Now, you should beat the Raiders, but anytime you play a division opponent on the road, it's a little bit tougher. Then you end with the Chargers and the Chiefs. Playoff chances here for Denver, you thinking, Joe?
It's got to happen early. Because those last 2 games you talked about are going to be tough. Although you are a much better matchup against the Chargers than you will be against the Chiefs, and mostly because you can run the ball, and the Chargers can stop nobody running the ball. So it is a better matchup against the Chargers. If they can go in there needing to win 1 out of the, let's say, the last 2, either the Chargers or the Chiefs, I'm much more confident in them being able to get the job done against the Chargers than I would be the Chiefs. But their future is going to rest on, can this defense continue to get better? Can they continue to play the kind of defense that Vic Fangio loves, that cover 2? Can they do it? Can they shut teams down and give the offense and the running game an opportunity to win games late? If they do, they're going to make some noise here in the next month or so in the AFC picture.
Yeah, the talent is there on offense for the Denver Broncos. It's just a matter of, you know, Teddy Bridgewater. Can he have that game, Joe, where it's 330 in the air, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions, good passer rating, so you can challenge teams like the Kansas City Chiefs? Because what we saw last week was the game plan was right for them. They tried to execute it to the best of their ability, but when you needed to make those big throws with Teddy Bridgewater, it just wasn't there. Let's take a look at another AFC West team here. The Los Angeles Chargers headed for the playoffs here, sitting at 8-4 with a 37-21 victory over the New York Giants. The Giants went on the road, Mike Glennon, another start. We don't know if Daniel Jones is going to come back for the rest of the season here. They were almost going to start Jake Fromm if Mike Glennon didn't get cleared from his concussion. Saquon Barkley, 16 carries for 64 yards. Kyle Rudolph was your leading pass receiver at 66 yards. The next closest guy was a running back. So that lets you know, like, hold on now. Kyle Rudolph is the leading pass catcher. Second is Saquon Barkley. Where are the wide receivers out here? Kenny Golladay, 2 of 15. Sterling Shepard comes back from injury, Joe, here, 2 of 27. But the story of the day is Justin Herbert and his electric talent at quarterback. 31 attempts, 23 completions, 275, 3 touchdowns overall. But also, sometimes we get these big wins here for the Chargers as they look towards the playoffs. Austin Eckler goes down with an ankle injury, and we'll see how that devastating that is. But Joe, Justin Herbert yesterday, sensational. The Giants is what it is, Joe, 4-9 now on the season.
So that was the Justin Herbert that we saw early on this season, right, where everybody was just clamoring at, oh, my goodness, Justin Herbert, the Chargers. And then, you know, reality kind of set in, and we realized, that Chargers run D is, Oh, boy. And then, you know, of course, some injuries on the offensive line there for the Chargers put Herbert in some bad spots. But when you can get that Justin Herbert, you're not beating him. It doesn't make a difference who he goes up against. That was the Justin Herbert that the Chargers are hoping will show up here late into the season, into the playoffs, because, wow, he is electric. He can make every throw. He makes even more difficult throws than many. He's got great wide receivers there, and even have Keenan Allen, not that they needed him yesterday by any stretch of the imagination. And the Giants are an organization that I feel also in that same category with Seattle is about to get blown up on a lot of different fronts here. And it's time, because I will say this, Glennon, listen, they converted 7 of 14 third downs yesterday, 7 of 14. Which I don't know if that says more about the heart of the Giants or how ridiculous that defense sometimes gets with the Chargers. It's their biggest weakness, and you think it would be a strength. But, man, those teams in December on the road that can run, they're going to have a hard time against. That's the only thing that worries me about the Chargers.
Yeah, Chargers yesterday almost came into that game, Joe, without Keenan Allen and also Mike Williams, who was a late clear late in the week here to come back and play. And certainly, they probably still would have won without both of those guys the way game played out. But if we take a look at the Chargers heading down the stretch here for us, final four games of the season as they currently sit in the fifth seed there for the AFC, the Chiefs, which they have actually beat, and also getting the Chiefs here on the 16th of the month, which, you know what that means? Thursday night football, usually a big advantage for the home team. Then also you have the Texans on the road, the Broncos, and then the Raiders on the road to end the season. So things looking good here for the Chargers to make a playoff run, see if they can stay healthy and do some damage. Coming up after the break, we're going to talk some NFC and AFC leaders right here on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back into the Early Line, SiriusXM Channel 159. You are on the grid. Donnie Wright's out along with Joe Ranieri talking some top seeds here in the NFC and AFC. So if you look at the current standings right now, you know, sits in the top seed in the AFC. Wow. The New England Patriots at 9-4, but we do have a logjam there. Tennessee Titans 9-4, Kansas City Chiefs 9-4. If we flip it over to the NFC here, Joe, Arizona Cardinals 10-2, Green Bay Packers 10-3. Tampa Bay Buccaneers 10-3. So as if the playoffs were to start today, the New England Patriots would be the top seed in the AFC, the Arizona Cardinals the top seed in the NFC. My question to you, Joe, will both of these teams be standing after the 18th week of the season in those number one spots?
Very well could, yes. The Patriots, and we know we've seen this movie before, haven't we, with them, especially in the month of December. That power running game of theirs is what is going to enable them to not only win games at home, but win it on the road in those cold weather months here. And the thing the Patriots do best is they don't shoot themselves, right? They don't make it. They don't make there any unforced errors. Bill Belichick ball. So I think if they can continue the same level that they've been playing at, it'll be them in Kansas City, 1-2. The only fear, I think we're going to learn more about Arizona here tonight, which they have not done great, Donnie, as a favorite at home, especially during the Cliff Kingsbury era. I believe the number is just 4-8 against the number as a home favorite here. We know McVay has done great in this spot as a dog on the road, but it's put up a shut-up time here for the Rams tonight. I think if Arizona beats them and beats them handily, then, yeah, I think Arizona's the team we got to look at in the NFC.
Yeah, Arizona coming off a victory here a couple years earlier in the season already over the Rams. We'll see if they can get it done again. And again, also, taking a look at the Arizona Cardinals here, Joe. It seems to be disrespected a little bit to me at 10-2, and I disrespect them a little bit. So, Green Bay, Tampa Bay, sooner or later, they're going to overtake them. But that's a good Cardinals team here. So we'll see what happens the rest of the way. But you know what you're going to do? Stick with us here, because in the next segment, we're going to talk 49ers Bengals.
It's simple, really. Listen. Win. Don't listen. Lose. I mean, duh. This is the home of the winning edge. Your
spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big.